God. Hallelujah. You can sit down. Thank God for His presence. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles to Romans 8. We already heard the first verse of this chapter. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. This is the all-time favorite verse of Christians everywhere. I recently read that they asked 25 different Christians from different places if they were stranded on an island and they could only have one part of the Bible, which part would they like to have? They said, all of them said the New Testament. They would rather have the New Testament than the Old Testament. And then, which book of the Bible would you like to have if you could only have one book of the Bible? They all said Romans. And then they asked them, well, what chapter of Romans if you could only have one chapter? They all said chapter 8. And then they said, and if there were only one verse, which verse would you like to have? Most of them said verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But you see, this is not only no condemnation because God forgives us in our failure, which He does, and thank God that He does that, but He not only forgives us in our failure, He enables us to live beyond our failure. He gives us the victory. So some people have underlined Romans 8:1 so much that the markings go through to the maps in the back. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Some have underlined that so often that they underlined or they lined right through verse 2. Because that says the reason that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus is because God has set us free. He set us free from the law of sin and death. And He's done this by the law of the life-giving Spirit, or the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God is life-giving. And I just want us to read a verse over in chapter 5 that I believe Paul uses this sentence to bridge between the first section of Romans and the next section of Romans. He says in chapter 5, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? So the first part of Romans has to do with the subject of when we were enemies, God sent His Son, and through the death of Jesus on the cross, we were reconciled to God. God forgives us of all of our sins, all of the wrath of God, and all of the punishment for sin went upon Jesus. But God not only forgives us our sins, because we don't want to just be forgiven. We don't want to just keep on going back over and over and saying, forgive me. We want to move on. We want to have the victory. And that's why it says, if when we were enemies, God reconciled us to Himself through the death of His Son, how much more, having now been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? So this introduces the next section of Romans, the first section being, how can enemies be reconciled to God through the death of Jesus on the cross? The next section is, how can we live free from the power of sin? And that is introduced to us here through His life. Because sanctification, which is the next section of Romans, sanctification is much more than just stopping sin. Sanctification is being set free, saved from sin's dominion by His life. That's the way the Amplified Bible translates this verse. How much more shall we be saved daily from sin's dominion through His powerful life? Jesus didn't just come to throw us a ring. He didn't just come to throw us a lifesaver. He came to save us from sin's dominion through his life. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I have come that you may have life, not a bunch of principles. Principles are important, but he's come to give us life. The purpose of principles is to help us know how to apply this life. But Jesus has come to save us from sin's dominion by his life. And that's what chapter 8 is all about. The key words in chapter 8 is life and the Spirit. Or life in the Spirit, life through the Spirit. This chapter is fantastic. It starts with no condemnation. It ends with no separation. And it is a fantastic gospel that we preach. This is so good news. This news is so good. Good is an understatement. You can't find, this is God's superlative news for us. You can't find an adjective to describe this. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because in Christ Jesus, the law of the life-giving Spirit has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by my flesh, God did in sending his own Son. And this Son came in the likeness of sinful flesh. In the likeness of sinful flesh. Because the Bible says that Jesus was made like unto us in all ways, yet without sin. He didn't come in sinless flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. When he went to the cross, he proved that God hates sin and he loves us. He condemned sin in the flesh, and he did this in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So Paul is showing us how this life works, this life-giving Spirit works in us to set us free from the power of sin and death, from the law of sin and death, that thing that keeps on pulling us down continually. Like the law of gravity, everything, we used to have an expression when I was a teenager, what is down must go up. Because people just live down all the time. And I think this might be even a good expression for us to have now. What's down must go up. Because Jesus has come not so that we live under the law of sin and death continually being pulled down, but he's given us life so that we live above. So he says here that he's come to fulfill in us the righteous requirements of the law in those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the flesh. They that are of the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. I think what this is saying is not so much that if you're of the flesh, then you think of the flesh. But the reason that we live according to the flesh is because we have our minds set on the things of the flesh. The key point here is the mind. What we're focused on. What we're preoccupied with. What our mindset is. If we have a mindset of the flesh, we're going to live according to the flesh. Now, the New International Version always says here, the sinful nature and sinful man. And when you read this, it almost sounds like he's talking about someone who's not saved, that the sinful man lives according to this sinful nature. He's not talking about that. He's talking about He's talking about Christians, you and I, who though have the Spirit of God, live as though we don't. Because our minds are preoccupied with what we can see, what we can feel, what we can touch. This word mind doesn't just mean your thought processes. It means your thoughts. It means your affections. It means your desires. It's your entire natural makeup. It's not talking about the sinful nature either. It's talking about you as you. Me as me. That's what the flesh is. The flesh is just Mike as Mike. And I can guarantee you that Mike, as Mike, would not bless an ant. And here's one more. Paul, as Paul, wouldn't be more saintly than anyone here in this room. Because Paul's flesh is just as bad as any flesh. But what Paul is talking about here is that those who set their mind, he says here, those who live according to the Spirit are those who set their minds on the things of the Spirit. If we are preoccupied with the things of the flesh, in other words, if we live in this world and just see the things of this world and everything is coming at us all the time and we interpret life's events by what we can see, feel, touch, and so on and so forth, then we will live according to that. We will live in that strength, and that strength brings us under the law, and it brings us also under the law of sin and death. Anytime we set out, even with good intentions, to do the right thing in our own strength, we come under the law, and they that are under the law cannot please God. You cannot overcome in the power of the flesh, no matter how sincere that is. That's why Jesus came to bring life. And Paul said in Galatians, if there were a law that could give life, then righteousness would have come by the law. But the problem, you see, with the law, Paul says it right here, the law was powerless because of my flesh, my inability. All that the law succeeded in doing was showing me what a mess I am. But it never lifted a finger to help me overcome. And that's what Paul says in Romans 7. The law came in. I was dead. The law came in. And all of a sudden, all of these desires just began to surface. Just like you, whenever you see a sign that says, do not step on the grass. Really? Or fresh paint, do not touch. I wonder if that's really true. Okay. There's something about a command that makes us want to do the exact opposite. And that's why the law only succeeds in bringing out the powerlessness of our natural makeup. And that's why Jesus came to give us life, and that more abundantly. And Paul says also in Romans 5 that they that receive of the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Reign in life. This life that Jesus has come to give us enables us to reign in life. Enables us to stay on top of things. So the mind set upon the Spirit walks according to the Spirit. Or, as it says here, they that walk according to the Spirit are those that have set their minds on the things of the Spirit. They're preoccupied with the things of the Spirit. How do you get preoccupied with the things of the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit is not walking around with your eyes closed. It's not walking around in some mystical cloud. And you're walking in the Spirit. Hello, lads. How are you today? That's not walking in the Spirit. That's being weird. Walking in the Spirit, being preoccupied, having your mind set on the things of the Spirit, is being focused on things that you cannot see with these eyes. You need the Word of God. And so your mind is focused upon the Word of God. There are things that you cannot see, but they are real. And the Word of God enables us to look beyond the outer shell into a reality that has been there longer than the physical reality. We're not Christian scientists that are neither Christian nor scientific who deny the reality of the physical. We know that this is real. But we know that this is not the only reality. We know that there is a basic reality that goes back further than the physical universe. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the world, but the Word of God enables us to go further back to a more solid foundation than the physical world, minus Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was God.
Amen.
And so our mind is focused upon the things of God. Yes, we see what's going on. In the same way that Abraham looked at the weakness of his own ability and the weakness of his wife. He looked at that. He didn't look away from that. He looked to that. And yet he looked beyond that to God and said, "All things are possible." Actually, what this chapter, first part of Romans 8 is telling us is the same thing that is the every year in Germany, the Moravians have a Bible verse for the year. In German, it's called Jahreslosung. They pick out a verse for the year. And the verse for this year is, "What is impossible for man is possible for God." Is impossible for man is possible for God. And I love this verse because right away, I can think of a million things that are impossible for man, at least for this one. And all the things that are impossible for man are possible for God. And the context of that verse is when someone came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to obtain eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "Keep the commandments." He said, "I've been keeping these commandments since I was young." And then Jesus hit the nail on the head. He said, "Go, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and follow me." This man had a lot of possessions. And because he had a lot of possessions, the Bible says he hung his head, turned around, and went away sad. He gave up. You know why? Because he was only looking to his own means. And in himself, in his own means, he could not do this command. The good news of God takes us beyond our own means. Because the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. When the disciples saw this rich man walking away, and Jesus said to them, you know, it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because he has all of this stuff, it holds him back. It keeps him down. And he's gotten so used to that kind of a lifestyle that to give that up is impossible for him. And his disciples said, well, who can be saved then? Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The Holy Spirit, the life of God that's in you, enables you to go beyond your own means and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. There are things that you can't do of yourself, and when you're confronted with these things, you can turn around sad and walk away. You can hang your head down and you can give up and say, I can't do it. But the problem is that your mind is set upon the things of the flesh. Your mind is set on your own abilities and inabilities. You are focused in the wrong direction. You're focused on yourself. You're focused on your means. And yes, it is impossible, but take the next step. Go ahead and say it's impossible. Go ahead and say, I cannot do that of myself, but take the next step. And say, by God, all things are possible. With God, I can do this. I don't feel it. I don't sense it. But there is a joy in my spirit that says, I can obey. I can do it. I can lose this habit. Some of you are bound with habits. Some of you are bound with things that keep on bringing in the condemnation into your life, even though you know there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You keep coming into those situations where you come under condemnation. It's not God condemning you. It's you condemning you because you keep on failing. And in you is the Spirit of God. He is urging you. He is saying, come on. You can live better than that. You are better than that. You are a saint. You're too good for sin. It's far below your dignity. The Spirit of God keeps coaching you. He keeps saying to you, come on, get up. Get up. And you keep looking to yourself. And you keep saying, I've tried that so many times. Listen, quit trying. Yes. And get your mind focused. Get your thoughts. Get your affections. Get your desires. Yes. Focused on things that are above and not on the things that are on this earth. The mind of the flesh is death. But listen to this. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace. I like that because there's only one result of the mind of the flesh and two for the mind of the Spirit. The mind of the flesh only gets one point, death. But the mind of the Spirit, life and peace. Yes, 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 peace, yes. Peace, peace. Being that quality of life which is the opposite of condemnation. Peace. Shalom. The full wellness of God. Listen, we live in a generation that is obsessed with wellness and has no clue where to find the well. It's not in ourselves.
Yes, yes.
Esoteric. Do you know what that means? It comes from two Greek words, eis, inward, and soteria, salvation. Trying to find the well somewhere inside yourself, the only ones that can find the well in ourselves is us, because the everlasting life that we received in Jesus became a well of life springing up so that there is a fountain. And yes, but this is not of our own means. This is a quality of life that has come from the outside into us now, and we live by the life of another. Les was saying this morning, the divine exchange, his life for ours. And we can live in our own life, even though we have his life in us, we can still live by our own means, by our own abilities, by our own resources, by our own life. And we experience everything that that life is. Nothing. Or we can receive the life of God and walk in that life by being focused on him. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace. The flesh is hostile to God. It does not obey God, nor can it do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But I want you to notice what the next verse here is. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. You are no longer in the flesh. That is no longer you. That person that falls on his face, that person that continually turns to the wrong direction, that person that is failing all the time, that's not the real you anymore. You may do that, but that's not what defines you any longer. You are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit is in you. I love that. The Spirit is in me, and I am in the Spirit. Jesus is in me, and I am in him. And now Paul is going to totally turn us all around here in the next part. He says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Amen. Wow. This is fantastic. I love this chapter. When Les called me and said, would you speak on Romans 8? My spirit leapt within me. I love this. This is without a doubt the most amazing news that you will ever hear. Here he says, you are no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Because indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Yes.
And if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, then you do not belong to him, because we are sealed by the Spirit of Christ. Yes. Yes. He calls him here the Spirit. The Spirit, the word, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit occurs more in Romans 8 than in any chapter in the Bible. And he calls him here the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, all of the Godhead came to live in you. Whew. That's what Paul says in Colossians. He says, all the fullness of the deity dwells in Christ in bodily form, and you have been brought to this fullness in him. When God came into you, he didn't lose any power. He didn't lose any life. He didn't lose anything. When he came into you, he came into you just as he is. And somebody says, well, was it the Father, was it the Son, or was it the Holy Spirit that came into me? Yes. Because even though the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son are distinguishable persons, they are inseparable.
Yes, yes.
You can't take them apart. You can't put one over there and another one over here. God is in you by His Spirit. Father, Spirit, Son is in you. All three in one inside of you. Man, if that doesn't make something go off inside of you that wants to say hallelujah, you are in need of going to the workshop and having your hallelujah repaired. Man, this is fantastic. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in you. And your body, yes, your body is still dead. Because of sin, it's still dead.
Yes.
It's the same old body, same old joints. Every time I stand up, see, I need to get going first. It's just, when I got saved, my hair didn't quit falling out. It seemed like it accelerated. It's the same old body, tired. Gets tired. The body is dead because of sin. What is Paul saying? It's the same old body. But he says, listen to this. The spirit is not just alive, like it says here. It says in the Greek, as in almost every other translation except for the NIV, it says the spirit is life. And here, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about your human spirit has become not just alive, but life.
Yes.
God came into you and you were born again. Not just
Amen.
Born again, but born anew with something new. You were born with new life. That old spirit in you that was asleep, it not only woke up, but it was born into the life of God. The life of God is inside of you, and your spirit, your human spirit has become life. So you say, well, I don't feel that life. Hey, they that are walking according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. But they that are walking according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Wow. So I'm setting my mind on the things of the Spirit. And yes, the Word of God, the same Word of God that tells me my body is dead because of sin. I can verify that. My body is dead because of sin. I can verify that. So if the first part is true, the second part must also be true. My spirit is life because of righteousness. There is a 33-year-old man on the inside of me that you can't see. He's nice and thin. He has a full head of hair. Jet black. Like a raven. He's tall, dark, and handsome. Woo! My goodness. There is someone on the inside that is being renewed day by day. He never gets old. He stays 33 and a half for all eternity. Wow! And there is someone similar to that on the inside of you. A new man. created in Christ Jesus, created in the image of God, in righteousness and true holiness. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of righteousness, because God in Christ was reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. And He that knew no sin became sin on our behalf, so that you in Him might become the righteousness of God. Because of this righteousness, your spirit is life. The same life that sets us free from the law of sin and death. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your dying bodies. Woo! Hallelujah. I think I got a hold of a couple of Pentecostals this morning. I brought one of them with me. Hey, listen. This is amazing. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living inside of us. And this Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens. He gives life. See, revival is reviving. Relifing. That's what revival is. Relifing. Is that right, Professor?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Reviving. Vive. We have the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, the most amazing miracle that has ever happened.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And here comes one that even exceeds that. That Spirit that lives in you gives life to your dying body. Not when Jesus comes again. That will also happen, but right now. In this situation, right now, where your body is dead because of sin, your spirit is life because of righteousness. And your living spirit and the spirit of life working together surge out and quicken your mortal body. Give life to your dying body in this situation that you're in. You rise up above the spirit of heaviness that is over this world, over this city, or hovering over this land. And you do not live by that. You do not live by your own natural resources, but you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. It gives life to your dying body. And Paul, I love it the way he does these things. He says it in if the Spirit. And of course, that means also and since. Since the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Living in you. He's living in you. He's not just sitting in you. He is dynamically alive in you. I'm preaching myself happy this morning. He's living in you. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your dying body through His Spirit who lives in you. Wow. Now, he says, therefore, and here's a big therefore. Therefore, brothers, we have no obligation to the flesh to live according to the flesh. You have no obligation to the flesh. You have no obligation to your natural means any longer to live according to that.
That's right.
You are free. What? I want to be natural. I want to be natural too. But I want it to be natural for me to be supernatural. Because I've had enough of my nature. We used to live in this city in Germany next to a man who believed in bio-nature. And his garden reflected that. See, what do you have to do to have weeds in your garden? Nothing. That's nature. But we have no obligation to the weeds, to keep weeds in our garden. We have no obligation to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Hallelujah. For if you live according to the flesh, what is the result? Death. But listen, I love the way Paul never leaves us hanging. He doesn't say, in Jesus' name, amen, see you next Sunday. He says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. What does he mean, the deeds of the body? The body is not evil of itself. But the body is the instrument that we carry out, the things that we do, the sinful habits that keep on holding us down, they're carried out through the body, through the hands, through the ears, through the eyes, through the tongue. These things are habits that keep on pulling us down into the law of sin and death. We have no obligation to the flesh to live according to its resources, but we have an obligation to the Spirit, because the one that lives according to the flesh must of necessity die. But the one who lives by the Spirit puts to death, denying its power, continually denying it power, continually feeding the inner man so that the inner man grows strong. Paul says in Galatians 5, the Spirit wars against the flesh against the Spirit, so that you cannot do what you want. So this is called obvious theology. The source that you feed the most is the one that's going to be the strongest. If you feed the flesh, your flesh is going to be strong. Your spirit is still there. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is inside of you, but amazingly inactive because you're focused on the flesh. But if you feed your spirit grows strong. And sin loses its pull. It loses its attraction. Because like this morning we were just before the face of God. And you could see how beautiful God is. You want nothing else. And this is the purpose of the Word of God. To show us what God is really like. To show us who he really is, and to show us that all that he is inside of us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is already at work in this world, but you have overcome him, my children, because you are born of God, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And everything that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Okay, so I guess I better wrap this up. Now, if you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit are the mature sons of God. How does the Spirit lead the mature sons of God? To put to death the deeds of the body. That's how we come into that maturity. All those old inclinations, all those old desires, all those old thoughts, all those old powers, continually put to death by the Spirit, not by the flesh, not by you trying to put to death, but by the Spirit putting to death. By the Spirit, I can say no to ungodliness and worldly lusts. And I can say yes to righteousness. I can say yes to sensible living. I can say yes to the fear of the Lord. I can say yes to godly living. Let's stand up.